Hi everyone, and welcome to InChrist Singapore this morning. I'm so happy that you have joined us and tuned in with us. And we have just exited the circuit breakers, so we have come into phase one. And I just want to encourage us to continue to pray and continue to pray that we can enter phase two and enter phase three and be able to meet again in the physical setting as a church. So, but until then, we will continue to meet online like we've been doing for the last 2 months or over 2 months. And we know that God can still meet us where we are in our living room or as we come together in His name as a church in this manner. And before I go into the Word today, I also just want to make a reminder that about the Marketplace Ministry event that is, or the conference that is taking place starting June 13th, and it's going to be four sessions going over four Saturdays. And it's the sessions are about transform working life. So I encourage you, if you haven't yet registered, to take the time to join us, because we're having very gifted speakers and gifted in their area of expertise as well. And if ever we need encouragement like this, I believe that's during a time like we are experiencing right now. And also, next Bible study, we will bring later some information about that. And the last thing I want to mention is that we are having prayer on Tuesday at 7:30 p.m., we assume. So I also would love to see all of your faces, if possible, to come and join us to pray for both the church and also Singapore and even things that are going on in the world today. And I also want to acknowledge that the youth are joining us this morning. So we are so happy to have you guys with us and to join us as we go into the Word. But before I start with the preaching today, let's come before Him in prayer. Father, we just want to worship You and praise You, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness and we thank You for Your grace, Lord. Father, we thank You that we have exited the circuit breaker and that step by step, Lord, we are seeing restrictions lifted because of cases coming down, Lord. And we just pray, Father God, that for continuation of cases to come down, Lord Jesus, that even though some people have gone back to work and schools have opened up and so on, Lord, we pray, Father God, that You keep Your protection upon Singapore and upon our kids, upon the people in this nation, Lord. And that, Father God, we just pray for the wisdom of God upon the government as well and everybody in positions of helping out in those areas, Lord, making decisions, as well as for the nurses and the doctors, Lord. We thank You, Father God, for what a blessed nation we live in, Lord God, where we are taking such a good care of, Father. And we just pray that You continue to lead and guide and protect this nation and lead every leader, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. And Father, we also just pray as we go into the Word this morning, may You lead us and guide us. And may the Word become a revelation to us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we've been going through the topic of our inheritance in Christ for the last two Sundays. And today we will continue on that subject and in relation to some of our inheritance in Christ. And one of those things that, as we've spoken about that we are accepted in Christ, that we are loved, we are the loved children of God, we are heirs, we are co-heirs with Christ as well. And we need to realize that our inheritance are both spiritual and also physical. And they cover so many different aspects of our lives. And one of those things that I want to speak about today is in relation to sin. That God, through Christ, God has given us the ability to overcome sin. And we are called to pursue His holiness, like Hebrews 12:14 says. Pursue peace with all people and holiness. Without no one will see the Lord. And sometimes when we hear the word sin, it becomes like this big word that we don't always know what to kind of do with, because for some it can bring in a condemnation. For some it becomes this heavy load on their shoulders. And for some, it may also just bring a question mark. What does it mean? What does sin mean? What does it include? And the thing about us as believers is that sometimes we focus too much on the sin itself instead of focusing on who is the one who delivers us from the sin and who is the one who gives us the capacity and the ability to overcome sin in our life. And what we also need to realize about sin is that we can be tempted in many things. Just like Jesus was tempted in everything, but he overcame it all. He didn't fall for it. He never sinned in his life, even though temptation may have come his way, like can come in our lives as well today. But there is one thing to be tempted, but there's another thing when a sin starts to dwell in our being and starts to take a kind of a stronghold in our lives. So there are certain things God urges us to not do. And we also have to realize that when he urges us not to do certain things, most of the time it's for our own protection and to protect the life that God has called us to. And before I go further into the word today, there is a video I would like to share with you. And it's a video that demonstrates an experiment that was done on younger kids and marshmallows. And kind of to see if they're able to be patient enough to experience a better reward. So let's take a look before I go on with the preaching.
Okay, so that's your... All right, here's the deal. Marshmallow, for you. You can either wait, and I'll give you another one if you wait, or you can eat it now. When I come back, I'll give you another one, so then you'll have two. But stay in here and stay in the chair till I come back, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna go do something and then I'll come back.
It smells yummy. It smells really good. It's up to you. You can have it now or you can wait. Okay? I'll be back. Stay in the chair. Okay? Okay. So I'm going to leave and then I'll come back, okay? So you can either eat it right now or you can wait. Either way, okay? Okay. How'd you do? Did you do good? You did? Yeah.
You wanted to eat it, didn't you? Yeah. So did I tell you I'd give you another one? Okay, now you can have both. You need them.
Mm-hmm. So just like in the video, there can be a lot of different marshmallows in our lives. In a sense, there can be sins or temptations that come our way. And because sin is so often comes in a sense that we are impatient. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait for the things of God. So we give into the different things. We give into the different temptations instead of waiting on the Lord, instead of going according to His path and knowing that when we resist or we are patient and we resist the temptation and the sin, that what He always has in store for us is better and greater. And one of our inheritances in Christ is that we have been called into a relationship with God. And it's a relationship where we can actually learn to know Him more and more every single day of our lives. And it's a relationship of going from glory to glory, of being sanctified, of being made more and more, working out our sanctification. And the thing about God is that when we walk in a relationship with Him, He will deal with different things in our hearts. He will deal with different things in our lives. There is no escape from it. Just like a good father, a father to their children, there are different things the children need to learn along the way, different principles, different good things that will bring them being able to succeed even greater in their lives. And sin can come in so many different ways. Sin can come in the form of pride, jealousy, selfishness, and it can come in our words as well, the things that we speak. And even in the way that we think, the way that we think about ourselves can sometimes be a sin. If we are seeing ourselves, if we are breaking ourselves down and not being willing to see us the way that God sees us. It can also come in a way of how we think about others. And oftentimes, that is where the sin starts. It starts in our mind. It may come as a temptation. The devil may come with the temptation. But at the moment we start to receive it, we start to dwell on it, we start to think about it, it creates that sin that in the end, not only is it in our mind, but it can also start to become action. And sin is so often about a temporal pleasure. And of course, in the video about the marshmallows, I mean, God is not, in a sense, giving us another sin for the sin that we did not give into. But the picture being that when we resist the sin, when we resist the temptation, we can be secure that God has something better for us. We can be secure that instead of just going when we know it's not in line with the will of God, instead of waiting on Him, instead of listening to Him, instead of having that attitude of trying to live our lives according to His word, we can always know that He will always have something better, always have something greater, and that there is a reward in it to overcome sin. And New Bible Dictionary says, essentially, sin is directed against God. And this perspective alone accounts for the diversity of its form and activities. It is a violation of that which God's glory demands and is. Therefore, in its essence, the contradiction of God. So what is sin? Sin is something that contradicts everything that is God. It contradicts His will. It contradicts His character. So it's not in line with Him, but it's the opposite of Him. And we need to understand as believers as well that we should never identify with the sin. But we always need to identify with what has been done for us on the cross. Because even as we become believers, we have sin and we will continue to sin. Because we are living in an imperfect world. But we still should not have that attitude when it comes to sin, that it's okay to sin, that it's okay to do it, it's okay to fall again and again into the same sin. Absolutely not. But we need to know that our identity is in Christ and the standing that God has given us with Him. And that our inheritance is that we are able to overcome sin. We are able to grow stronger. We're able to grow in our holiness and in our sanctification. And unfortunately, we live in a world where we see a lot of consequence to sin. We hear about the racism that is going on. We hear about different stories where people are made to feel inferior to others. And all of those things are consequences of the sin in the world. But for us as believers, we should never compromise with the world. But we are called to continuously work out our holiness and sanctification. And if we go back to Hebrews 12, where we started, and we go to verse 12 to 16. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this many became defiled, lest there be any fornicator and profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. So, we have spoken a little bit about when it comes to our right standing before God. And as believers, we have received the position of righteousness before God. But even though we have received that position, we are still called to walk out the righteousness. We're still called to put it into action and work on our sanctification. And what the sanctification in our lives is one of the family characteristics, our spiritual family characteristics that we live out in our daily life. So if you go back to the thought of being children of God, what is some of our characteristics as children of God? It is that we are walking out in holiness, step by step, learning to live out the holy life that God has called us to, and sanctify, being sanctified through and through in our lives, in our thinking lives, in our words, even in the way that we think about ourselves or how we see life in general, and our actions. So all of those things, as we come into the family of God, we also start to be sanctified on the inside. God starts to work with different areas of our lives. So as we are seen righteous in Christ, we are also disposed to show the lifestyle in relation to the position that we have been given. Just like when we look upon a royal family, if somebody has been either born into a royal family or someone has married into a royal family, there are different principles and expectancies that comes with the title and the expectancy to live in a certain way, to carry yourself in a certain way, and to behave in a certain way. And the same for us as a believer. When we become Christians, we are not only Christians by the title, but our lives should also demonstrate what has already happened on the inside of us, what has already taken place. So we honor God through our way of living and how we treat others, how we treat our co-workers, how we treat our spouse, how we treat our children, and even how we treat our enemies. All of those things are so important parts in showing that the salvation that has come into our lives is also manifested in the outward behavior. And what is so interesting is, as it says here in Hebrew, pursue peace with all people and holiness. So we are called to pursue holiness. We're called to do something about it. And the reward, what is the reward of pursuing, what is the reward of pursuing holiness? It is that we can see the Lord. We start to see more of the Lord in our lives. We start to grow even further in our relationship with Him, in our personal relationship with Him. And you know, sometimes we think about as the world, as from a world perspective, you know, there are certain people with higher status in the society, being presidents, being kings, or being celebrities, that people want to meet and the desire to get to know and even learn to know them on a more friend relationship. But if we think about that and we put that on the Lord, I mean, God Himself, the creator of the universe, has invited us into a relationship with Him. The greatest person to ever be able to walk this earth, being Jesus Christ. We are called into a relationship with the Father, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And it's an open door for us as believers. But the Bible also says, in order to grow in that relationship, one thing that we need to be aware of is that pursue holiness. Don't compromise when it comes to sanctification. Don't compromise when it comes to sin. But rather, pursue something else. Instead of pursuing the sin, pursue God. Pursue the relationship with Him. Pursue the holiness. And allow Him to come into our lives and deal with certain things so that we can grow in that understanding of who He is and in the closeness with Him. And what we also find in Hebrews 12 is that it speaks about Esau, which was willing to give up his birthright, just for a stew. And that is what sin is, because what happened to Esau is that he lost the spiritual blessing. He lost something so precious because he was so short-sighted. And instead of being able to see further the blessings of God, being able to see generations ahead, because as the author of Hebrew, he just went from Hebrews 11 speaking about all the people of God that always saw further, saw heaven, saw the things of God beyond the natural and beyond the physical reality of right now. But Esau is an example of not seeing that far. And that is what sin does. Sin only makes us see what is right in front of us. And to give in to something that may just be for a time being gratifications. But it's not gonna, but at the end of the day, it may destroy something even greater in the future. And just like the marshmallow test. You know, but I want it now. It's right in front of me right now. Instead of being willing to put that aside and be patient for something better that is to come. So this, we should not be like Esau. We should not be impulsive. We should not be short-sighted. But we should be willing to see further. We should be willing to look beyond the sin and this life and see the inheritance that Christ has for us. And the thing about God is that He will never command us to do anything that we cannot do. If God says, pursue holiness, if God says, be holy as I am holy, He doesn't do that and then give us absolutely nothing to be able to accomplish it. But if God says, be holy as I am holy, it is because He has given us everything in Christ. It's one of our inheritance in Christ that we can pursue holiness. We can overcome sin. We can overcome temptations. And we can live a life where we are continuously working out that sanctification, getting stronger and stronger in areas where we may have been weak before. And it's not by our own doing, but it's by the doing of the Holy Spirit. It's through His work. It's through the Word of God. It's through dwelling on the Word of God. It's through looking to God and the help that we are given through the Holy Spirit that we can overcome things in our life. And we also need to realize that to pursue something doesn't mean that we have already arrived. But as we are pursuing it, it's an ongoing process. I'm not there yet, but I am going there. I'm working on it. I'm growing in it. I'm getting stronger. And what we need to realize and what we need to be secure in is first and foremost the standing from withstanding we have as we are pursuing holiness. Because we can have something and not walk in it. And one of those things that we have is the righteousness of Christ. And we have become the very righteousness of God when we became Christians, when we became believers. And this is so important, inheritance, because it makes the standing before God of, before God, it means that righteousness means that I have the right standing. It means the ability to come boldly before the Father without a sense of guilt, without a sense of sin, without a sense of failure and inferiority, just as if we had never sinned. And I think for us as believers, we sometimes struggle with this because we don't feel like we have the right to come before God at times. We don't feel like we can come boldly before the throne of God. We don't feel like we can come there without a sense of feeling guilty. But the thing is that one of our rights in Christ is that we have the righteousness of Jesus in our lives. And so the moment you and me became believers, there was an exchange that took place. Jesus took our sins, and instead he gave us the righteousness, his own righteousness. So that when we are before the throne of God, when God looks at us, he looks at us covered in the righteousness of Jesus. So that's why the Bible says, even though we are not perfect, we can still come before a holy God. And what we need to realize about righteousness is that it has nothing to do with us. You know, if I think about this microphone can do nothing about it. He is a microphone, or it is a microphone. And there is no change to it. And the same thing with us as believers. We are righteous in Christ. There is nothing we could do to deserve it. But it's a fact that we became children of God. That became our inheritance. We now can enter before God. We now can pray. We now can seek Him, experience His presence. And He identified with us, but we also, so that we can identify with Him. He took our sins by dying on the cross so that we could receive His righteousness. And we cannot buy it. We cannot earn it. You can try to do it all in your own strength and power. And Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, as we went through the study of that, he was so against trying to earn salvation, trying to earn the right standing before God. Because there is nothing we can do to receive it. We have, in that sense, but we have to receive it by grace. We have to receive it as a gift. And 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 tells us, because even though we have been made righteous, there is something we need to realize, and that is that we can grow in the fruit of righteousness. Our works, our action can be in line with the standing that we have been given. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed of your seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So in pursuing holiness, our first step, the first thing we need to acknowledge is that we have been made righteous before God. And it's not my own righteousness, it's not your own righteousness, it's the righteousness of Jesus that is upon your life at this moment and this time. But the thing is that we still need to work out the righteousness. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we do anything to earn the righteousness, but the standing we have been given, now let's live like that. Let's give glory to God's name by the way that we live. Let's show what has already started on the inside will also start to be affected on the outside. So every Christian has been made righteous in Jesus, but not every Christian is walking in holiness. And holiness is a process of that takes time. And that's why Hebrews says, pursue it. You need to pursue it. When you pursue something, you go after it. And the thing about sanctification, the thing about pursuing holiness is that at times it can be challenging. Because it's God who is molding us through the Holy Spirit. And we can also often look at sanctification process or pursuing holiness as in a sense of the potter and the clay. As we see in Jeremiah 18, where it speaks about Israel being the clay and God is the potter. So often when God is working in our lives, we may feel like that, you know, like the clay. A clay in itself is not that beautiful. You know, it's just a piece of clay. But then as the potter starts to mold it, he starts to put his fingerprints on it. He starts to work with it. Suddenly something that was just a piece of clay can become such a beautiful thing. And something, some kind of a vessel that can be of a use. And the same thing when we come to Christ, we may come to him like this clay. You know, the truth is that before we received Jesus, we were children of the devil. But now we are children of God. So he took that clay that is your life and my life. He took it into his hands and he starts to mold it. He starts to work on it. And sometimes in that process, it may feel uncomfortable. It may feel like there are things that are coming up on the surface. There are things that we see in ourselves that maybe it's not always so pleasant to look into the eyes of or to realize it. Sometimes it's easier to just put it away because it takes energy. It takes a decision to actually work on it in our lives. But the thing is that through different steps, as the clay yields to the hands of the potter, through different steps along the way, the clay becomes what the potter intended for it to be. And that's our lives in Christ. We come to Christ, but it doesn't just end there. That's not the final work of God in our lives. Okay, now he's in Jesus. Let's find somebody else and let's work on somebody else. But the moment we come to Christ, that's the beginning of something new. It's the new life in him. So he starts to work in us and through us. And he starts to build up the new life that he has called us to more and more in us. So that we start to see more and more of his fingerprints in the different areas of our being. And another thing, another illustration that we can look at in the sanctification process and in pursuing holiness is that we find that in relation to gold being purified. And if you look at Malachi 2-3, but he who endure the day of his coming and who can endure the day of his coming and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. So when we look upon this text, we find that it's put into this passage is in the setting of Messiah that would one day come and work would do his work within his people and among his people. And one of those things that we find here is that he is like a refiner's fire, and he purges them as gold and silver. And the thing about us as believers is that we like to be forgiven, but we don't always like to be cleansed. We don't always like to be formed. And we don't always like to go through the process of purifying our attitudes, purifying our thinkings, purifying our actions, and purifying even the different ways that we deal with things, our temper. So we don't always like that. But it's a part of the process that God does within us because he wants us to make us into all that he has called us to be so that we can accomplish the things that he has intended for us and we can grow in our relationship with him. So when we look upon gold being refined, when gold is being purified, it was subject to intense heat. And the heat would cause the impurities in the gold to melt and separate from the pure gold and come to the surface, to the top. And when it came to the top, it was skimmed off the gold. So what was left was the pure gold, but all the impurities will come up to the top of it to be able to take it away and skim it off. And the thing about the process is that it was repeated as many times as necessary in order for the quality of the gold to be purified. So in this, sometimes as believers, we may find ourselves like that, that we experience discomfort because our flesh does not like to be purified. Our flesh does not like to pursue holiness, but our spirit longs for it. And it can be uncomfortable because weaknesses and shortcomings come up on the surface. When we are pursuing God, when we are pursuing His presence, there are things that come up that the Lord is dealing with us, and the Lord wants to be able to take out from our lives so it doesn't hold us in sin any longer. And one thing is so interesting is in the Old Testament is that fire in Hebrew is often associated with the presence of God. And He comes as a refining fire to cleanse us and purify us. But the results of it is His presence, that we receive more of His presence. And He is able to do more work through us because the vessel has become more and more molded into what God intended it to be. But it's up to us in the midst of the process when God does it. Do we yield to it? Or do we continue be bothered by it or resist it? Because we need to yield to it. We need to pursue it. And the thing about that process, when God is working on different things in our life, we, as I said before, we need to realize what is our standing. We are standing as righteous before God. Because the tendency is that when we start to see things in our own heart, when we start to see things that we know we need to repent from, we need to let go of, that the enemy will come and he will bring condemnation. He will try to say, I mean, who are you? How can you serve God when this is a part of your life? Who do you think you are coming into the presence of God, having this in your heart, having that unforgiveness, or having the way that you speak or the way that you think? And those things we have to be careful about. Because when God is dealing with things, we need to know, okay, what is our inheritance, first and foremost? What is my stand at this moment of time when God is dealing with me? My stand before God is not that of a sinner. My stand before God at this moment of time is that I'm righteous in Christ. So I have the ability to come before God, not based on what I have done, but based on what He has done for me. And as I stand there, as I am before God, as I am righteous in Christ, God starts to deal with me. But He's not doing it so that I can shrink back and feel all condemned and all so worried and all so heavy, loaded by the sin in my life. But it is in that standing before God that I can come before Him and in humility, in humbleness, repent from it and then be restored in that area. So that we know that you are accepted in Christ. You are loved by God. None of those things are going to change. None of those things will change in your life as children of God. But then still, in the midst of that, He will start to pinpoint. And He will start to mold us. And He will start to purify us. But the good news is that in the midst of that, there is grace to do that. Because God never intends for anything. He never intends us to do anything if He hasn't already given us all that we need to accomplish it. And one thing we also need to realize in the process is, as Romans 6:11-12 says, likewise you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. So, one thing we need to realize is that we need to reckon ourselves dead to sin. So, we are not supposed to identify with the sin, as I said at the beginning, but we are supposed to identify with Christ. We identify with the fact that we are children of God. We don't identify with the sin of having lied, or of the sin of having different thoughts that we know are not in line with the Word of God. Or we don't identify with the unforgiveness, but we identify with the Christ. But then we realize that this is something we need to deal with, and then we come before God and we repent from it. But in that, we need to also, as a lifestyle of Christian, to reckon ourselves dead to sin. That's what we need to see, that that is our inheritance in Christ. That, yes, we will fight this battle until we go and be with the Lord, because we live in a fallen world. But we can grow stronger and stronger in every area, and we can overcome things that we didn't think that we could overcome. But we can do that through the grace of God. So, but we need to see ourselves in Christ as dead to the sin, dead to the temptation. That is not a part of who we are. It's not a part of my inheritance, because Jesus broke the power of sin when he died on the cross. And the more we have that image and that attitude, the more we see ourselves that way, the more strength and purity and holiness is able to come into our lives. And the sanctification process is able to be strengthened more and more. So that needs to be our stand. That needs to be our image that we hold. I'm not seeing myself when we realize there's a sin in our lives, we need a repentance. We don't see the image of, oh, it owns me. It is who I am. Definitely not. Who are you? You are accepted in Christ. You are beloved. You have the righteousness of Jesus. You are a child of God. You are co-heir with Christ. You have all the things that Christ has given you through the cross at your disposal today, not based on what you have done, but based on what Christ has done for you. There's so much we cannot earn, but there is so much that we can grow in. And the more we grow in those things, the more it will release us to walk in obedience to the calling of God upon our life. So sin should not own us, but we are the one who have, through the power of Christ, been given the ability to overcome it. Whatever area of our life we feel we struggle at this moment of time. And one of those things, as I said, sin is not always just the physical act. It may also be the thinking life. It may even be the way that I see myself and how I look upon others around me. That we don't always have a critical mindset, because critical mindset can become a sin. But that we allow more and more the mind of Christ to be formed in our lives. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Father, we just praise you and we worship you. Father God, I just want to pray for each and every one that are listening at this moment of time. Lord, I thank you that they are so accepted in the Beloved. I thank you, Father God, that their lives through Christ have been transformed. And Lord, I just want to stand together with everyone that may be listening at this moment of time, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray if there are things in our lives that, as we have been going through the Word today, Lord, if there are things that have been coming up on the surface as the Word has been spoken, Lord, I just then want to stand together with them, Father. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, as they confess those things before you, that you are true and you are faithful and you forgive. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that as they confess things before you, Lord Jesus, that you come in with your Spirit of God and you give strength to not fall in the same area again. And Lord, I thank you as well, Father God, that even though maybe someone that is listening right now and there has been an area of their lives, Father, where they have struggled for the longest time, Father, I just want to pray for them that you release the Spirit of God in there. You release the power of God. And you set them free in those areas, God. And that they may see as they wake up tomorrow and as they continue on this week, Father, that there is a continual difference in their lives. Because, Father God, it's not by their own doing, but it's through your help. It's through reckoning that they are dead to sin, but they're alive in you, Father. And we just praise you and we worship you for it, Lord. We thank you that you are faithful. We thank you that you are good. We thank you that we are children of God. And that we can come with boldness before the throne of God, not based on who we are, but based on solely on what you have made us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us today, and be blessed.